Blog Talk Radio.
Listen here, Pilgrim, and listen good. Why don't you mosey on over and set that down to Rich Rossi Live? When it comes to Christian talk, he'll wrestle you up a show with true grit.
Well, thank you, John Wayne, for that introduction. I was at John Wayne's house with a best friend, and we have a film coming up, Canaan Land, later this year. And when my character, Brother Billy, gets kicked out of the woman he's staying with, this woman named Connie, played by Donna Lee Heising, the mansion in Beverly Hills I get kicked out of is John Wayne's house. When you see me down and out in Beverly Hills in our film, that is John Wayne's house. So thank you for that introduction, Mr. Wayne. And happy Easter, happy Resurrection Day, everybody. He is risen. Hear the bells singing. They're singing, Christ is risen from the dead. One of my favorite singer-songwriters, Keith Green, the late Keith Green. One of the last times we talked, we encouraged each other. I told him he's my favorite Christian songwriter. And I was humbled that he said, Richard, your songs are some of my favorites. He said, so much of the Christian stuff is kind of fluff and syrupy, and you write really real raw stuff. So we encouraged each other and talked about doing some performances together. Then unfortunately he passed in a plane crash, but this is his Easter song. And I think it's perfect right now. So worship the Lord with me. Hear the bells ringing. They're singing, Christ is risen from the dead.
Hear the bells ringing, they sing that you can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they sing, Christ is risen from the dead. The angel upon the tombstone, he has risen. Just as he said, quickly now, go tell his disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world, he is risen. Alleluia, he's risen. Alleluia. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that you can be healed right now.
Thank you, Lord.
Joy to the world.
Hallelujah, he is risen. You know the resurrection of Jesus Christ?
No.
That's the best
the
best proven fact of ancient history. I mean, there's a few documents that Julius Caesar ever lived, or that Alexander the Great conquered the known world in the Grecian Empire. But there's thousands and thousands of documents of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you realize when you write the year 2020, when you date that check or you look at that calendar, you are testifying to the historicity, historicity meaning a real historical event of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because time is divided between BC, before Christ, and AD, or after his death, actually the Latin Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. So even people that say they don't believe in the resurrection, when they say the year, they are testifying to the historicity of the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is something that could not be disproven by the skeptics and the cynics that tried to say it didn't happen. All they had to do was simply go into the tomb, find the body, find the corpse if it was a lie, and produce the body of Jesus. But they could not do that because the body was not there. He is risen, as my late friend Keith Green just sang there. And you know, it turned the lives of the disciples around. They were hiding out in fear of the Romans. The gospel said they tried to spread a lie and say that they stole the body. And that's so absurd because the tomb was guarded by the Roman guard. And you know, my last name, Rossi, is the most common surname in Italy, and Italian men are man's men, and they were tough soldiers, and they were under an edict that if anybody got near that body, that they would be killed, those guards would be killed. They had the Roman seal over that large rock, and the Roman seal was that if anyone touched it or broke it, they would be killed. I mean, there's no way anyone's going near that thing. But that rock just blew away. The angels rolled the stone away. In fact, there was a burst of power. A friend from Liberty University, who was one of my professors, named Gary Habermas, is an expert on the Shroud of Turin. And I remember him saying, I got to show you something, Richard. He showed me some pictures of the image on the shroud. It was a photographic negative before photography even existed, before cameras even existed. And it was a negative, you know, remember the old negatives with cameras, how it was like kind of black and you couldn't quite make it out. But by reversing that negative, there's an image burned on the shroud of a man who was crucified. Nails in the wrists. Wow. The image was produced by a burst of power. The only thing comparable that Professor Habermas told me they had found was, and forgive this indelicate example, but in World War II in Hiroshima, when the atomic bomb went off, images of people produced because of the explosion of the bomb that were similar. This image was produced by a burst of energy that threw that stone away, and those disciples that were afraid became so on fire and passionate and went preaching the risen Christ around the world. Jesus predicted he would raise again. He proved he was the Son of God, God the Son. How could God prove his existence? If there is a God, how could he prove his existence? He would have to do something only God could do. What's something only God could do? Create out of nothing. Ex nihilo is the Latin, out of nothing. I can create songs. In fact, I've been on a creative writing spree like some writers in this quarantine time, and I've written about 7 songs. Recently, and been working on a third novel. And my second novel, Canaanland, is coming out, by the way. So you have something you can read in a couple weeks when it comes out. It's the novel the film's based on. And I started the sequel to Stickman. Some of you have been sending in questions asking if I'd write a sequel to Stickman. And yes, Jeremiah and Angel are going to find each other again. And I've started that third novel. But I'm writing. But when we look at this resurrection, God to do, now I could create a song with my guitar, or some of you that are painters can get paints, or some of you that are cooks, you can get some ingredients in your kitchen and create a dish. But God creates out of nothing. And what would be the hardest thing to create out of nothing? Life itself. I mean, one thing to create a rock, one thing to create a bug or something, but to create life out of death. So Jesus, to prove he was the Son of God, said on multiple occasions that he would verify his divinity and his deity. And he said that they would destroy the temple of his body, and on the third day he would rise up again to prove he was the way, the truth, and the life. And he did exactly that. Wow. Now, if he would not have come out of that tomb on the third day, then I wouldn't be trusting him to give me eternal life. But because he lives, we shall live also. Because he lives. You know, that reminds me of an old song. I think I'm going to grab my guitar here. And I hope I can even remember this song. It's been a while, but it just came to me just talking about Because He Lives. Do you remember that song? I'm trying to remember it now. Because he lives. Sing with me. I can face tomorrow. I can face tomorrow. Because he lives. All fear is gone. All fear is gone. Because I know. Because I know. I know. Who holds the future? Who holds the life is worth living just because he lives. Because he lives. Our text for today, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, is John 20. And Doris in Louisville, Kentucky is going to read this for us today. So turn to John chapter 20, and we're going to read, I think, about the first 18 verses or so, Mary Magdalene at the tomb. Here we go. Open your Bibles to John 20, or just Google John 20 or pick it up, or you can just listen. We thank you for your word, God. Open our hearts to see wondrous things in the scriptures as we hear this read.
John chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loveth, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the where the body of Jesus had lain, and they say unto her, Woman, thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her.
Thank you so much, Doris, for reading for us. Mary Magdalene, here we see, is at the tomb. There's a 70s musical that I love, Jesus Christ Superstar. In fact, I plan to watch that with my beloved today. And in that film, it shows Mary singing that she doesn't quite know how to love Jesus or deal with Jesus' love, because in the past, men had objectified her. Men were selfish with her. Men did not really love her with that agape love, that pure Jesus-y love. But yet Jesus Christ loved her so much. And here she is at the tomb. You know, women at this time were kind of second-class citizens in the legal system. They didn't have power. They were considered the lowest of the low. So people that have said, oh, this was faked and this was all a big, hoax on the disciples' part about the resurrection. If they were going to do a hoax, they wouldn't pick the first witness to be a woman, because at that time in the courts of Judaism, a woman could not even testify. A woman could not even give eyewitness testimony in a legal proceeding and be considered valid. It had to be a man. Yet she's the first one here. In fact, the early church fathers called Mary Magdalene the apostle to the apostle. The word apostle, what does it mean? It means sent one. She was sent to the men to tell them he's alive. He's alive. And then the first two men that visited Jesus' tomb, according to verses 2-4, were who? Peter and John. And the scripture says John ran on ahead. John was a bit younger. John, we believe, to be a teenager. And so my son, Josh, would probably outrun me if we were running somewhere, because he's a lot younger. That was the case with John getting there first. So she tells Simon Peter and John that they've taken the Lord's body. The body isn't there. And so they run there. And John got there first. What did they find in the tomb when they got there, according to verse 5-7? Well, they saw the linen cloth. They saw the shroud. But Jesus' body wasn't there. So what did they conclude? What did they believe for the first time? That he's risen. You know, this resurrection message is not just for Easter. It's for every day. Every day is resurrection day. Colossians 3 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. We can come out of our tombs every day. You know, you might feel like you're in a tomb, you're locked into this quarantine thing, but you know, the resurrection of Christ helps us transcend that every day. There's a scripture in the King James Version, Colossians 3. I like to memorize verses with music, so I just grab my guitar and I'm going to try to sing Colossians 3, 1-3, which says that we're risen and hidden in Christ every day. So if you want to sing it with me, just turn to Colossians 3, 1-3, and hopefully I can remember this. Sometimes I just have songs come to me in the middle of a message, and I just have to stop and grab my guitar. I'll teach it to you. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above.
I better get my Bible to make sure I get the words right, my King James Bible, because this song, I took it from the King James. So let me open it up. I started the song, but we're going to have to do a second try on that, because I want to open up my Bible so I sing it right and teach you guys the verse right. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Let me find it here. Okay, this is an old Bible. I got this when I was a teenager. I started just first getting into the Bible. I call it my scribble Bible because I've scribbled all kind of notes in it. Here it is. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's what we're going to sing here. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Ye are dead, ye are dead, ye are dead. Ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Ye are dead, ye are dead. Ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You are Lord. You are Lord. You have risen from the dead. You have risen from the dead, and you are Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, every So set your affection on things above. You are not under this corona hysteria. You are not under fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear. He died on that cross on Good Friday, so he identifies with the suffering in the world right now. And right now we pray and we lift up all those affected by the coronavirus, including our daughter Karis's fiance Ryan's mother. We pray healing, full recovery for all that we know touched by this coronavirus. Thank you. Your kingdom come. Your peace and healing power reign. Thank you, Lord. You know, the world has a saying. It's a very pessimistic saying. It's a very negative pessimistic saying. You're born, then you live, then you die. It's very pessimistic. We're just physical matter and that's it. But Jesus Christ has another saying to contradict that, which is John 11:25. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. When my own father was dying, there was a moment I saw fear in his eyes, and it was quite poignant for me because here's the guy that whose eyes held sway over me for many years as a boy. And I just quoted that resurrection promise to my father. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And my dad, I saw the fear leave his face and the peace of God come on my dad's face as he was looking death in the face, because he was reminded of that promise that Christ's victory over death is our victory over death. My father's in heaven now. He died in 2006. My youngest brother died in 2017, Pete. That was really tough because I'm the oldest of five. It seemed unnatural or odd for me to have my youngest brother die first. And I remember feeling very sad at the funeral home. I remember standing there for hours and hours, just taking in a line of people's condolences, and they were wishing myself and the family their sympathies. My Uncle Art came up to me. My Uncle Art's a tough guy, a strong man. And he looked me right in the eyes
And he said, Richard, Pete is with your father now. And he's with Nana now. Nana's grandmother. Actually, Italian, Nana's grandma, Nano's grandpa. He said, Pete is with your father now. And with Nana now. And it was like a burden just lifted off of me. I felt, you know, this resurrection, this is not just fairy tales. This is not just pie in the sky. This resurrection is our hope. Paul wrote, if Christ be not raised, our faith is in vain, and we are of all men most miserable. The resurrection reminds us, yes, my brother is reunited with my father and with my grandmother, but there's a reuniting in heaven. The risen Christ met the disciples on the way to Emmaus, and he meets us every day in his resurrection power. You know, you have the power of the risen Christ in you every day. Did you know that? It can do wonders. It brought me back to life when I almost died after an accident. When I was a teenager, I was 17 years old. And I was riding a wild horse that I had no business riding. But when you're a teenager, your frontal lobes aren't developed and you sometimes do dumb things. And I was riding a wild horse that had thrown everyone that rode the thing and was not to be ridden. One of my first jobs as a teenager was taking care of horses that were boarded in a barn and shoveling up the horse poop and taking care of horses. But I rode this horse into the fields, holding on to the mane with no saddle, and that thing threw me. And I went flying head over heels. Christopher Reeves, the great Superman actor, was paralyzed in a similar throw. So I was fortunate I survived intact. But I was unconscious in the fields, and the paramedics got there. When they got there, I was not in good shape. I was not conscious. My vital signs were low. But there was a paramedic there, and he wrote down something that I kept quoting and whispering over and over, though I was out of it and on death's door. I kept whispering a verse that I had memorized from Romans 8:11, and the verse was this: the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead shall quicken my mortal body. The same resurrection power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead shall quicken my mortal body. I just kept saying that over and over. And the power just surged back into my body, the resurrection power. And I came out of that. And then the paramedic, I learned, he told me that he was Santa Claus when I was a little boy. And he remembered me. He played Santa Claus when I was a little boy. And he said, you were a cute little boy, Dickie. And he said, I remembered you because you were asking me, well, hey, Santa, when you retire, can I take over for you and be Santa and give out the presents, you know? And he even not only was Santa at the stores, my parents got him to come to one of our birthday parties. I think it was my brother Joe, because my brother Joe was born in December. So here, you know, maybe about 10 years after, remember me as a boy, this paramedic was on scene and told me about that powerful resurrection scripture that brought me back to life like that. That there is power. In fact, Jesus said, we raised the dead. He said his disciples, he sent them out and said, heal the sick, raise the dead. When we were living in Cranberry on Dover Drive, there was a guy across the street from me named Dan, and his nephew was in a brain dead coma. And he was desperate, and he knew I was a person of faith. And he said, Richard, would you pray for my nephew? They've given him a prognosis of very little chance of coming out of this coma. And I took my neighbor Dan's hand, and I said, in the name of Jesus, you raised Lazarus from the dead. I speak life into his nephew John's body right now. And by the power and love of the risen Christ, that boy miraculously came out of that coma. This resurrection power, it separates the men from the boys. I'm not here to put down other religions, but you know, Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, any of these other teachers or religious leaders, Jesus Christ is the only one that predicted he would prove he was God and that he would come back to life 3 days later. Jesus is risen from the dead. Oh, I got to grab my guitar again. It's hard for me just to give a message without grabbing my guitar. So sing with me. Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is risen. Risen from the dead. like Lazarus, he'll raise you from the dead. Like Sleeping Beauty, he'll wake you from your deathbed. Like Snow White, he'll kiss you back to life. He'll end, my friend, your decade dark night. He'll raise you up. You might feel locked in that tomb of quarantine. You might feel locked in that tomb of your brokenness. And he's saying, come forth. Come forth to you. It's your resurrection day. Rise up. Rise up. Rise, rise, rise. Laura Ray Anderson, who's one of the many talented worship leaders that have been a part of our ministry, Eternal Grace, it just in the nick of time, she sent me her resurrection song for today. So I want you to hear Laura. We have many talented worship leaders. I'm only one singer-songwriter that leads worship here. We have so many that do amazing music. And Laura just wrote this song for today, Rise. Give it a listen here. Rise, rise, rise. It's time for your resurrection. All right, that started, but then it stopped for a second. We'll get it back. Rise, Laura Ray Anderson. Rise, Laura Ray Anderson. Laura was here a couple weeks ago, and she did her Psalm 91 song as I was teaching on Psalm 91, and here she is with Rise. Thank you. Wow, that was great. Thank you, Laura, for that beautiful song. Getting some messages in. Thank you, Kelly, in Greenville, South Carolina, letting us know the music sounds great and also letting us know that it didn't sound so good last week because of some of the phone line issues. So we're doing a brand new technology this week of streaming the show without the phone. This is brand new. I've never done it before. We've always went through a phone system, but due to all kind of weird stuff going on with phone lines, our landline had static, the cell phones can drop. We are now doing a new technology of the show being completely streamed without reliance on a phone. And I'm so glad that you're all, I'm hearing from other people out there, Bob in Cleveland, also that the music's sounding better. So I want to read you an obituary here. Jesus Christ, 33, the King. Here's an obituary from a newspaper. Andy Zambella posted this, my dear friend in Florida, Clearwater, Florida, and it's written as if an obituary. Jesus Christ, 33 of Nazareth, died Friday on Mount Calvary, also known as Golgotha, the place of the skull. Betrayed by one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Jesus was crucified by the Romans by order of the ruler Pontius Pilate. Causes of death were crucifixion, extreme exhaustion, severe torture, loss of blood, and a love for his followers. Jesus Christ was a descendant of Abraham, a member of the house of David, son of the late Joseph, a carpenter of Nazareth, and Mary, his devoted mother. Jesus was born in a stable in the city of Bethlehem, Judea. Survivors include his mother, Mary, four half-brothers, James, Jose, Simon, Judas, faithful apostles, numerous disciples, and millions of followers. He was self-educated, and he spent most of his adult life working as a teacher. Jesus occasionally worked as a carpenter and was known for miracles, miraculous catch of fish, healing a man born blind, three eyewitness cases of raising someone from the dead. On the day before his death, he held a Last Supper celebrating the Passover, at which time he foretold his death and resurrection. The body was quickly buried in a stone grave donated by Joseph of Arimathea, a loyal friend of the family. By order of Pontius Pilate, a boulder was rolled in front of the tomb. Roman soldiers were placed there to guard the tomb. A wake followed over the weekend by family and friends. However, on Sunday morning, when the scheduled funeral service was to be conducted, Jesus Christ continued his miraculous feats by rising from the dead, thus eliminating the need for such a service. In lieu of flowers, the family is requested, everyone try to live as Jesus did, loving one another. Donations may be sent to those preaching the gospel. Speaking of donations, we did get an inquiry here from Phil in Louisiana about donating to the ministry during this time. I appreciate you asking. We're not heavy-handed about donations. However, our donations at Eternal Grace are about 90% down. Now, any of you listening that are new to the ministry, please feel no pressure or obligation. However, because we're not having meetings in person and passing the plate, it's just gone way down. We have had about 10% of the people who are spiritually fed by Eternal Grace have contacted us and said, can I mail a check? Can I donate through PayPal? So let me give that information. If you're spiritually fed through Eternal Grace, you're giving out of love, sustains the ministry. We don't pressure people and guilt people into giving. We believe in Corinthians where it says to give freely from your heart out of love and gratitude for the teaching. So you could either go to eternalgracechurch.com and click the donate button, or you could go to paypal.com and donate to the email eternalgracechurch@yahoo.com. Again, at paypal.com, send to the email eternalgracechurch@yahoo.com. It has gone way down, but you know what? I'm not going to look at that. I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord and not the waves and the winds. You know, when Peter looked at the Lord, he didn't sink. So you can go to PayPal and send it to the email eternalgracechurch@yahoo.com. If you want to send a check old school, a dear friend of mine who's been one of the just great leaders, I'm so glad, is a part of our ministry, is who's been a great chaplain at LA County Jails, Josie Pollock. She said, Richard, I'm not tech savvy. I just want to send a check. So you can do that. Just make it out to Eternal Grace, and you can mail it to Eternal Grace, 5030 Whitsett Avenue. Again, that's 5030 Whitsett, Whitsett Avenue, number one, or suite one, Valley Village, California, 91607. Again, that's Eternal Grace, 5030 Whitsett Avenue, suite one, Valley Village, 91607. I want to just go back to our John 20 and wrap up a few points there. The encounter of Mary Magdalene with Jesus. When I last left off here, we were talking about how they saw that it was just the shroud there, and that they now knew that he was risen. So imagine if you knew someone and they said, I'm going to give you eternal life. You're going to live forever. I mean, let's say one of your friends at work or one of your neighbors or one of your relatives said, if you believe in me, you will never die. I mean, the greatest fear that we have as humans is death. Number two is speaking in public. I used to be scared to speak in public. In fact, I took an F in speech class in high school. I said, please, I'm too nervous to speak. But then when I came to know the Lord and accepted the Lord, I got emboldened and I wanted to share the message of the love of God. And I became a preacher and the Holy Spirit helped me overcome it. But the greatest fear, even more than public speaking, is death. And so Jesus is saying, you don't have to be afraid. My resurrection is the Corinthians 15 says it's the first fruits. His resurrection is the first fruits. And those of you in farming or agriculture know that when you get that first fruit of a crop, it's showing there'll be many more. Hey, this first apple looks great. We're going to have a lot of good apples this year. So his resurrection is the first fruits. In other words, you're going to rise from the dead. You're going to have eternal life through him. He is the resurrection and the life. And that's reminding me of another song I can do on my guitar for a moment with you. Sing this one with me. It's one we used to sing as a boy. Way back in St. Athanasius grade school, we used to sing this in Westview, Pennsylvania. Hopefully I can remember it. It's I Am the Resurrection. It goes, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. And the life. He who believes in me will never die, will never die. Live a new life. Remember me in the things that I have said. Remember me in the things that I have said. Remember me in the breaking of the bread. Sing with me. Remember me in the breaking of the bread. If you believe, you shall live. Resurrection and the life. Now we notice in John 20, as we look a little bit further into the text, that Mary first saw an angel there at the tomb, and then she heard someone talk to her in verse 14 and 15 and ask, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? And she at first thought it was the gardener. Her eyes were so full of tears. Her vision was blurry. She was in a state of grief. And she thought it was the gardener. And there's a lot of very interesting Renaissance art that kind of riffs on that theme of Jesus as the gardener. And if you Google Renaissance art, Jesus as the gardener, you'll find a dozen great paintings of Jesus, Mary finding Jesus, and Jesus has like a hoe or gardening tools. And she thought he was the gardener. And in a way, metaphorically or allegorically, Jesus is the gardener. He plants the seed of the scriptures and the word into our hearts, and he cultivates our hearts, and he grows us, and he is the vine, and we are the branches. But when did Mary finally know it was Jesus? When she heard his voice say her name, Mary. She loved his voice. She loved the sound of his voice, the love in his voice. And she knew when he said, Mary, she knew And she couldn't keep the good news a secret. The gospel means good news, euangelion in the Greek, good news, that he is risen. He is alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Well, here is a tremendous song by our friend Don Francisco telling the story of what we just read. And now, after this song, we're going to open up the phone lines on your screen. You can call in if you want to share an encouraging word with the listeners around the world. Call in. Oh, my God, the lines are just packed full. This is great. Wow. Our lines are lighting up like a Christmas tree. So a lot of people are already calling in. If you want to call in and share an encouraging word, let's make it something positive and uplifting based on the resurrection, because the news is obsessed with bad news. You know, my dear friend Ann Tabor in Crown Point, New York, posted that over 100,000 people have recovered from coronavirus, and most people that get it recover. But does the news say that? No. Do you know the last pandemic that was like this was in 1918? It was called the Spanish flu. So this hasn't happened in 100. This happens about once every 100 years. So we're going to get through this. It's peaking now. We're going to be on the downside. And the Holy Spirit told me very clearly that they would find treatments that would then turn into cures soon. And so I just want you all to know that this will be over soon. This too shall pass. And these gloom and doom preachers saying it's apocalypse and end of the world. No, it's not. It's going to be over soon. We're going to come out of the tombs. We're going to come out of the lockdown in the tomb. We're rising up. He is alive. He is alive. We'll be right back for your calls. Dial in at 347-637-2379. He's alive, Don Francisco, right back with your encouraging words. So I'll be right back. Listen to this song that tells the story. He is alive.
Gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, the voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me. She told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night. None of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away. Now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden. Then John ran on ahead. We found the stone in the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. The winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but just what, I did not know. John believed the miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, as I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. It's when at last it came, the choices I denied, I knew his name. Even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet as I looked into his eyes. Love was shining out from him
like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted in with peace.
Don't believe this lie that we are distant. God's love is not distant. God's love is around you, enfolding you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Neither life or death or height. It's a lie that we're not together. Just because we're not together physically does not mean we are not spiritually one. One are we. We are one. One are we. We are one. We are spiritually one with God's presence. My brother who passed and my dad who passed, I can't physically hug them, but they are part of that great cloud of heavenly witnesses. And I am still connected to them, and I am still connected to you, and we are still connected to one another. We can feel God's embrace spiritually, even though physically we can't embrace at this time. And Jesus, on Good Friday, died and identified with the suffering of this world, but he came forth. There was the silent Saturday, Holy Saturday. Our daughter Karis gave a powerful sermon about how Saturday is the time when it's silent, and it feels like God's not answering your prayers, and it's like that dark night. Some of you have been in a dark night for a decade. But guess what? You're coming out of your tomb. Come forth. Come forth. Come forth to abundant life. Come forth to resurrection. It's Sunday now. Saturday's over. This corona thing's over soon, and we're getting through it. But during this time, it's been a stepping back, a shifting, a solitude, a surging forward in creativity. Some of you writers are writing like never before. But now I want to go to your encouraging words. So please thank you for your patience. There's a long line. So just hold on. Those of you on the phone, you'll be able to hear the show until we get to you. Hey, Josie Pollock. I think I'm going to Josie Pollock here on line one. Josie Pollock. By the way, watch the documentary on Josie's life about her ministry in the prison. It's called On Faith Alone, made by our dear friend, filmmaker Noel Amy. You can go on YouTube. On Faith Alone, Josie Pollock. It's about 7 minutes. Watch the story of her ministry in the prison. Can you hear me, Josie?
I can hear you. And I woke up this morning to Dolly Parton singing He's Alive.
Wow. Well, Dolly does a great job on it too, Josie. Well, why don't you share whatever God's put on your heart to encourage our listeners. We have so many listeners on this online service around the world.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Okay. Well,
please encourage them.
First of all, I told Laura I envy her gift. I mean, she writes the most beautiful songs, has such a beautiful voice.
Oh, she sure does.
Yeah. And I just identified with something you said about being afraid to speak in public. When I first got born again and went to church, people would stand up and give prophecies. And I said to God, don't ever give me the gift of prophecy. There is no way I could stand up and speak in a church. And then he turned me into a preacher in the prisons.
Yes, and many of the people may not know, Josie. I've told them to watch the documentary on your life. that you have ministered to everyone from Robert Downey Jr., the Menendez brothers, Billy Preston, so many stars, Freddie Mercury.
Mainly.
You know? Yes. And what do you think the resurrection can say to encourage everybody right now?
Well, the fact is that Jesus died and was resurrected, but what people are lacking right now is peace. And as Paul used to say, I wish you could do this like me. I wish you could do that like me. I say, I wish you could have the peace that I have. And throughout the Bible, I mean, like Daniel had that peace when he walked into the lion's den. Shadrach and Abednego had that
peace. I hear
peace.
Stephanie. Is Stephanie with
yes.
you?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
She bought a big lamb, and we're going to have roast dinner later.
Oh, great, great. Well, after you have an encouraging word, maybe Stephanie, if she wants to, has an encouraging word.
Okay, after.
So, you know, the fact is we're going through right now what the Jews went through at Passover time when God sent a plague on the Egyptians and they had to stay in their homes with the blood on the doorpost so that the plague would pass over. Well, we have the blood of Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice lamb, and we have the peace that as long as we seek God and love God, that plague will pass over. And if we die, we go to heaven to be with him. So there's no loss. I'm sure heaven is much more beautiful than California. From
wow.
What I...
Yeah, I think so, Josie. And California is pretty nice here with the palm trees and everything. How about you,
uh-huh.
Steph? What do you have to say to encourage everybody based on the resurrection? Josie is a chaplain in L.A. County Jail, is minister of the jails. Stephanie, her next-door neighbor, who's been a part of Eternal Grace, is one of the best dancers in the world. She's a fantastic dancer, and she's been another great person that we're so grateful to be a part of Eternal Grace. We have Eternal Grace house churches all over the world listening, Steph, and they need an encouraging word based on the resurrection. What would you tell them?
Oh, it just left my brain. Okay. oh, my gosh. I'm so nervous. Well, I have compassion for everyone that's ever gone through a world war or because I feel like I'm locked in the Tower of London in my little room. But,
mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh, I forgot what I was going to say.
You put her on the spot.
You put me on the spot, Richard. You know, it's encouraging
so you
because
imitate Josie.
I remember.
You imitate Josie like I do. Okay, you remember?
Yeah, because it says to give thanks in all things. And even though I feel like I'm, you know, suffering. But, I mean, you know, everything's inconvenient. I went to the market the other day, and it looked like the zombie apocalypse with everybody standing in the parking lot waiting in line. It was just it's a very surreal time. But I do find, you know, it says give thanks in all things, and I do try to find the beauty in all this. And as bad as it is so beautiful outside where there's no smog, and I thank God for the beautiful birds and the air and the weather and I just thank God for what is beautiful and lovely. And also, I thank him that I can learn something by going through this. And I do have compassion. And I also pray that my prayer life's gotten a lot better. How's that?
Yeah, you know, you're hitting on something really important, which is to stay grateful and not hateful. Because 1 Thessalonians 5 says, in everything give thanks. And when you just look around and say, thank you for the birds. Thank you that we can do this radio show. Thank you we have phones. Thank you we have food. Just whatever you can see in your room. Thank you I have a TV. Thank you for my family and friends. And all of a sudden, just a little bit of gratitude, it's like a flower blooming in the desert.
Mm-hmm. And it does take the stress off my brain. And, you know, I get a nervous stomach and everything. And I'm just like, oh, you know, thank you for this. Thank you for that. And all of a sudden I realize, oh, I don't feel stressed anymore. So thank you, Lord.
By the way, all you listening, these two wonderful sisters in Christ, Josie and Stephanie, are two of the stars of our new film, Canaan Land. Josie plays the spiritual mother to me and Sister Sarah. And Stephanie is a sister that works with Sister Sarah. And Stephanie encounters me, Brother Billy, at In-N-Out after I've been fallen from grace. And so keep your eyes open for Stephanie and Josie in our film when it comes out later this year. You two did a great job.
I'm also a dancing clown, Richard. Remember that.
That's right. She's also a dancing clown in the nightclub scene when Brother Billy's jamming with his band at Carl Crew's epic North Hollywood nightclub, CIA. And we have some great musicians. My son and some of his bandmates are in the band. And a drummer from Red Hot Chili Peppers and Dead Kennedys. I mean, it's just great. And Stephanie in her clown makeup just dancing, being a dancing clown. You did great, Stephanie, dancing as a clown, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Well
we have
a clown most of the time.
Well, she makes us all laugh. She has a great sense of humor, and she even does some great stand-ups sometimes. Well, we have like so many people, so if you guys can hold, I'm going to go to a few others here. Let's see here. That was line one. Let's go to line, wow, a lot of people on here. It's so many. It takes me a while to scroll down all the numbers. I hope you all just be patient. We have a lot of encouragers on the line. This is area code 812. First three digits are 760. I think this might be Steph Plost. Is that you, Steph Plost?
It is. Hi.
Well, that was Stephanie Sullivan, the last Steph, but this is Steph Plost. Steph Plost is just a rock solid sister in the Lord, and we're in the North Hollywood area, but Steph Plost is a part of Eternal Grace, and she's in the Orange County area, kind of down there where Disneyland is, for those of you that aren't familiar with our geography here. And she's just a precious, precious sister. We're so blessed with the people in this ministry. Steph, what would you say to encourage people listening?
Well, I've noticed that, you know, I'm one of the people that got furloughed and sent home. And honestly, the first few days, it was kind of fun because I'm naturally an introvert. And then I started getting really lonely and isolated. But the good news is I'm seeing like little mini resurrections all over the place. First of all, I'm getting able to sleep in more, which is really nice, you know, so my body's more refreshed. When I wake up, I'm feeling closer to God. It's funny because I'm finally going through things in my pantry, like spices and different things that probably wouldn't have touched for a long time if it weren't for this quarantine. And then when I go for walks, it's really nice to see families walking together and, you know, dads with their children out in the park. And even just going on the internet, seeing that there was a story about, I think it was in Greece, like billy goats have taken over the town because everybody's inside. But I guess what I'm saying is I'm seeing the Lord not only reset our bodies and refresh us, but I'm seeing nature getting restored too. And so that's a form of a resurrection. The air is cleaner.
Oh,
the earth
nice.
Is shaking less. Oh, yeah. I saw the other day there was a picture of Los Angeles City, and there was like virtually no smog. So I feel like God is doing a lot of good things, even though the virus in and of itself isn't good.
Wow. You know, yeah, because Jesus in the gospel says, come apart and rest a while. And sometimes if we don't come apart, we come apart. And this has been a time of solitude. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. I mean, I've been starting to write on my third novel. My second one, Canaan Land, is coming out in a couple weeks. So this has been a boon for writers like you and me, Steph.
Mm-hmm.
Just the solitude, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm getting more ideas too. Just being inside and having those distractions not there like they normally be.
You all be watching for the next for films coming out from Steph Plost. She's a talented screenwriter. Well, stay with us if you can, Steph. I'm going to get to a few of the others. We have so many callers all around the world calling in here to share and encourage. I'm going to go to 323-654 is your first three. Who is 323-654? I won't give your whole number for confidentiality's sake, but 323-654. Can you hear me? 323-654. Not there. Let me try again. 323-654. I might have lost you. 323-654. Are you still there? 323-654?
Yeah, I think it's me.
Okay, who's this?
Josephine. I'm a friend of Josie Pollock.
Well, hi, Josephine. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm enjoying it very much.
Well, thank you for calling in. Any friend of Josie's a friend of mine. And I think Josie's real name is Josephine, too, although I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, I'm Josephine, and she's Josie.
Okay. Well, what would you like to share today, Josephine?
Oh, I'm just feeling relaxed. It's nice to just think and tidy up your house and stuff. Just pray that you'll get better.
Yeah.
And I'm Jewish.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, Jesus was Jewish, as you know, Josephine. And
I
so
know.
Was all the people that wrote the Bible were Jewish. So you're right in the stream of things.
And Josie prays for me, and she's always there for me when I'm concerned about things. She's always happy.
Oh yeah, Josie's a surefire saint. She's just rock solid. I say on the radio that Josie is the most solid, grounded person in eternal grace here. And Josie said to me, "You really ought to stop saying that. It makes it sound like all the rest of them are Looney Tunes."
No, she's very grounded and wonderful.
Yeah, well, she said the same about you, Josephine, and I'm so happy that you're listening today.
Oh, I'm glad you picked me.
Well, God bless you, and I look forward
Thank
to meeting you.
You.
When this all clears up, I look forward to meeting you, Josephine.
Yeah, happy Easter.
Happy Easter. God bless you. And let me go to the next line, which is 562-230. I believe this is Deacon Jeffrey Edward Griffith, who's been a deacon in our ministry for over 20 years, another rock-solid guy. Jeff, what would you say to encourage people out there listening around the world?
Well, I got a little word this morning while I was watching television. Can you hear me good?
Yes, I sure can.
All right. Well, when it seems like that the world loves to attack the innocent. And so when Jesus went to the cross, he was innocent. But the difference between him and the normal person is that his innocence was with full knowledge of what would be. So when his vessel was broken, that's his body, when his vessel was broken, then he could demonstrate and show to other people that even though their vessel was broken, because he was able to rise, he could cause us to be able to rise in the same manner.
Wow.
And that, yeah, it's a really cool idea when you think about it. And so when you see innocent people out there and they're struggling, you can encourage them by telling them that God loves them, God wants to help them, and God wants to build them up so that they can withstand the whatever is coming in their life.
Wow, that is so encouraging, Jeff. Thanks for sharing that, and we'll see you soon, my brother.
All right. God bless.
God bless. Now, I'm going to go to the next line. We have callers all over the place. This is one of the top singers in Nashville who's been a part of Eternal Grace. Josie was talking about all the great music talent in Eternal Grace and mentioned Laura's song Rise we just played. Sherry Pettigo, we've performed together, and she sings with so much feeling. She's one of the best singer-songwriters out there, and she is from Nashville, and she's calling in. Sherry Pettigo, can you hear me?
I sure can. It's so good to hear your voice, Richard, and Josie, Stephanie, Laura singing. Warms my heart. And Jeffrey Griffith, oh, my God, I miss you guys so much.
We miss you,
I'm
too.
I'm in pouring down rain right now.
You're in the rain, huh? Well, you know, I wrote a song, Dance in the Rain. I wrote a song, Dancing in the Rain. So you just dance and worship. Now, what would you say to encourage those out there based on the risen Christ? What would you say to encourage people that are hungry and listening around the world right now?
Well, I can tell you this. I'm sitting here looking at a dogwood tree, and it's all its glory and beauty with the rain falling down and just showering blessings down on this earth, feeding our earth. And, you know, this is Resurrection Sunday, and I don't know if people know the story of the dogwood tree or not, but the dogwood tree, that the cross was made from the dogwood plant, right? I mean, not plant, but the dogwood tree. And that used to be a big, tall tree. And if you look at the four leaves on it, you'll see, like, blood prints. Like, there's, like a red Google dogwood tree and look at the flower. And I just want to share that real quick because I'm sitting here looking at this and I'm speaking fast because I'm in honor of everybody else that's coming online. I was sitting here this morning and a friend of mine sent me that Sandy Patty song, and He's Alive. And mm-hmm. as I'm listening to it, a little robin landed outside the window and he had branches in his mouth and like he was building his nest. And I was like, and he sit there and he listened and I'm looking at the bird. And he's just listening. He's hearing the song. And I was like, look at that little robin. He is praising the Lord this morning. You know, this may be a time of isolation, but it's a time of praise. We can't lose our praise. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We got to keep him. I just lifted my hands and I said, thank you, God. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for everything because this is a time of resurrection in many people's lives, and I want to give a quick testimony. I called my dear friend Lillian Glass yesterday, and I hadn't spoken to her in a few days. Her mom was a Holocaust survivor. She was 102 years old when she died recently, and Lillian told me on the phone, and I went to her mom's memorial service and sit beside her on one side and another friend of hers sit on the other side. She was introduced to me. She goes, I got another Christian friend here. And I said, look at you sitting between us two Christians here at a synagogue. And then she told me she received the Lord 2 days ago. She goes, Sherry, I'm now a Christian. And wow. I was like, oh, wow. And she goes, I am so at peace. And she goes, I just have I just feel different. And I was like, because I asked her, I said, how do you feel? How does that make you feel? She goes, I feel fantastic. And she really just, I mean, that was such a testimony for me to call her and hear that. And I was like, oh, God, thank you. She's grieved so much for the loss of her mother. But, you know, God's got her mom. He's got all of us. And life is short. Life is temporal. And, you know, I just pray a blessing over everyone listening and I pray protection over everybody. I pray a hedge of protection, Psalms 91. And and the verse that comes out, we shall go out with joy. We shall come out of this thing with joy and with praise and victory.
It's going to be over soon.
Yes, it will.
You know, I encourage all listening to do what Sherry does and get out in nature. You know, Romans 1 says that nature really gets us in touch with the Lord. And there's a song we sing in Eternal Grace about how the birds of the sky sing their song to you. I don't know what the delay if we can sing it together, but I love your voice so much, Sherry. Hopefully this will work, but I'd like you to sing this with me. And like with the echoes, it may not work, but the Lord will hear it even if we're not in sync. But let's sing that song a moment about how the birds praise. And I want you all to get out in nature. You can do your 6 feet distance, but get outside a little bit, all of you, this week and get some vitamin D sun. Birds in the sky sing their song to you. I'll sing and try to sing with me, Sherry, and everybody out there in Radio Land. The birds in the sky sing their song to you. The trees in the field, they lift their arms to you. I want to see.
want to praise you. I want to praise you, Lord. Much more than I do, I want to
praise you, Lord.
Much more than I do. Learn to seek your faith, knowledge of your grace. I want to praise you. Birds in the sky, birds in the sky,
sing the song to you.
Trees in the field, they lift their arms
to you.
I want to sing, I want to
lift my to you.
Yes, yes, yes. Wow, isn't that beautiful? Listen to those birds. Thank you for calling, Sherry Pettigo. We'll look forward to when you're back here in Southern California. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We have other people holding we'll try to get to here. Let's see. We have 818-795 is your first three digits. 818-795. Who's 818-795?
That's me, Danielle.
Danielle Ramos, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Richard and Sherry?
Good. Why don't you tell us what you would say to encourage the listeners out there?
You know, we had Good Friday on Friday, and then we had Saturday, and John 19:30 says, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished, and bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. And then, of course, he rose again, and he's risen, and, you know, the Lord is an awesome Lord, and in these troubled times that we are facing with the COVID-19, I think for me is I'm just relying on who God is and how he rose from the dead. And if anything, put all this stuff aside and meditate on his word and what he says. And you mentioned earlier that this too shall pass, and it will pass. When? We don't know. But we have to be in his word. I mean, Andrew and I last night, he was in the living room, I was in the bedroom, and we were doing our own worship, and we were doing our own time out with the Lord. I mean, we must have spent 2 hours with the Lord, and we haven't done that in a long time. So with this coronavirus and it being Easter today, just set some time out for the Lord, whether it's 5 minutes or 2 hours, and just be in him. Because if we reflect on the news all day long, it's just going to bum us out. I mean, yeah, we have to know things, but be in the Word today and just make it what it should be all about. And it's really.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Danielle, about limit the news. I mean, there's enough you can listen to be informed. But, you know, faith over fear. And fear is false evidence appearing real. And the news is often designed to just focus on the negative and get people worked up. So I'm going to go to, since we're nearing prayer time, I think this might be Andrea on line 6 here, 818-741. Is that you, Andrea?
Yes, it is.
What would you say to encourage everybody listening?
Well, first of all, I want to say Happy Resurrection Day to everybody.
Thank you,
and,
Andrea.
And happy. Can you hear me okay, Richard?
Yes.
Yeah. So the Lord, through the message was really good, and I want to say everybody that shared today is just perfect. It's just like God's anointing was on everyone, whether you shared or not. It was just anointed, and that I am thanking God for technology, because if we didn't have this technology, we would still be separated. And so through the technology that God has allowed, we get to come together. But I just want to share two scriptures that the Lord has been giving me about the COVID-19 and praying for people. I want to say before I share that, there was a miracle that I heard on TV last week of a lady in Italy And they were walking her out of the hospital. She had had coronavirus. She was in there for a week. They weren't sure she was going to make it. And they walked her out, and she was 94 years old. And that's a miracle. That's just a miracle. And like you were saying, there's a lot of people that are recovering. There's a lot of miracles through this. People are coming to know the Lord through this. So God, you know, what was meant for evil, God is using it for good. So, but this is the scripture.
Yeah, that's right. Like Genesis 50, 20 says, what was meant for evil, God turns for good. And Romans 8, 28, all things work together for good for those that love the Lord. So you have a scripture there you wanted to read, right, Andrea?
Yeah, I want to share this. It's really good. It's the second part. It's in Romans 4. I have two of them. Romans 4:17. And I'm praying this like for all of us, but this is perfect for the Resurrection Sunday and every day. But it says here, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. And so we're just going to call forth that our lives will go back to what they were. And then and call forth those people that are sick right now. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you would heal them. By your stripes, Lord God, they are healed and that they would come to know the truth. The other one that I thought is really good, it was based on what you shared today in your message. It's in Romans 8:17, and it says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And so even though this thing is like a roaring lion and it's like a war, we don't wrestle against that, but we trust the Lord that God is going to get us through, and God is with us, and God is living with us in our lives, and he's going to use this. And so we are more than conquerors through those in Christ.
Amen. So you know, that leads us into our prayer time. So after a brief show identification, we're going to go into our prayer time. Any of you still holding on the line are welcome to pray. And the prayer is a powerful time. So all you listening out there, stay tuned, and you'll feel the power of the Spirit as our mighty eternal grace intercessors pray. You can pray with us around the globe. We'll be right back after this show identification. We have some anointing on loan from God with all these prayer warriors, so we're going to go into prayer now. Any of you that would like to pray on the line, just feel free to jump in and start praying. Well, I guess we last heard from Andrea. If you want to, Andrea,
let me
if you'd
pray.
Like. Yeah, you want to pray, and then anybody that wants to after Andrea.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we thank you for this resurrection day, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you died for us sinners. And Lord, you came back on the third day and you resurrected. And one day we will be with you in heaven. Lord, I pray right now that this day would be a glorious one. Lord, that you'd fill us with the joy of the Lord. Your word says that the joy of the Lord is with us. And so, Father God, we pray for everyone here, far and wide, Lord God, throughout the world, that you would minister to all of us and protect us, we pray. Zechariah 2:5, it says that you would put a wall of fire around us, you would protect us, and that your glory would be in our midst. So, Lord, thank you for Pastor Richard. We thank you for everyone that shared today. We thank you for this message of hope, Lord God, that there is hope, Lord God. And so we just pray that you would use us this week, in the next few weeks, Lord God, that you would use us as vessels of hope and as vessels of your light. Let your light shine brilliantly through each of us, Lord God, that those that may not know you, Lord, that they would ask and they would come to know you. Lord, help us to be bold, help us to be ready in season, and to give a word of hope to those that may not know you. So, Lord, we pray that we pray for all the medical people and all the staff right now treating people throughout the world, that you would give them strength, and we pray that your presence would be upon them. And, Lord, for those that are in the hospital, we pray for revival, Lord God, that you bring healing to their bodies, Lord God, and bring them out. So, Lord, we just pray a blessing on this day, and we thank you, Jesus, that you are love, and we just thank you for your love, Lord God, because that's why when you died on the cross and you stretched your arms out, that was love. And we thank you, Jesus, for all your love. So bless my brothers and sisters, and we just thank you. We pray that the words that were shared today will hold dear in our hearts throughout our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Josie or Stephanie or Jeff, I think you might still be with us if any of you want to pray.
I'll jump in real quick.
Okay, go ahead, Jeff.
All right.
I want to thank the Lord for all the workers out there who are working for Christ right now, who are seeding the world with the Word of God. And I want to thank those who are first responders. I want to thank those police officers out there who are fighting and struggling. And anybody
else. Go ahead,
else
Jeff. Sorry about that. A little technical glitch. Go keep going. We can hear you.
All right. Well, I'm just giving thanks for the workers of the harvest, for those people out there.
And the Spanish vocabulary is actual.
Yeah, sorry about the technical difficulties. Keep going, Jeff. Sorry about that.
Okay, well, I'm thanking the people out there who are serving Christ right now, who are workers for the harvest, and who are going to magnify that harvest for the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven up above. And that's my prayer.
Amen, amen. How about Josie and Stephanie, if you're still with us and would like to pray?
Yes, Father God, you said you would supply all of our needs. So right now, anybody that has need, whether it's financial, physical, emotional, or spiritual, please, Lord, help them. And I ask that all the equipment that the doctors and nurses need in the hospital, that they're not risking their lives by wearing plastic bags and inferior masks. Please, Lord, provide that for them. And I just ask for your mercy on all of us in Jesus' name.
And Lord, amen. I know this will be very popular, but Father, I just pray for our president, and I just pray for all the people in Fox and all the people in CNN and everyone that's at odds. Lord, I just pray that at this time they could put away their differences, Father, and we could look to you. And I really do appreciate the Easter message that Donald Trump gave, and I know he's not popular, but Lord, I do pray that at this time that people could just look up and stop fighting, even if it were just for a little while, Lord. I pray that we could all look to you and that we would have grace and mercy on one another at this time. Father, whoever's in power, Lord, I thank all the people that are in government at this time. And I just pray that you would just give them unity, Lord. I'm not a political person, Lord. And I just pray that we would all just be, Father, that you would just give your grace and a 1,000% on everyone that's in charge right now, God, that they could just look to you for whatever that comes out of their mouth, Lord, that they would just look to you, Lord.
Mm.
And I thank you, God, for your love for everyone that's involved, Lord. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we pray, I pray for everyone listening that they wouldn't let what they can't do stop them from doing what they can do. They would find those things that they can do during this season. I thank you this too will pass, and that the worst thing that will kill us is fear and stress and depression. So I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd lift up anybody that's discouraged. You'd fill them again with your love. I thank you for your promise in Psalm 91, though 10,000 fall at our right hand and 1,000 at our left, the plague and pestilence shall not come nigh our dwelling. So I rebuke any fear off anybody. You said you have in 2 Timothy 1:7, you've not given us a spirit of fear. So we thank you, Lord, for your triumph out of the grave that you arose. We thank you for everybody listening today. What a blessing it's been. What a blessing it's been. I want to thank all of you for listening today. I hope that this is encouraging to you. I want to let you all know that this link is good in perpetuity. This link is good in perpetuity. In other words, once we're done with this broadcast, if you have friends that need encouraged spiritually, they can simply listen to this at any time now from here on in. They can go to blogtalkradio.com/Richard Rossi, or you can share this link, and they can click on the Easter service. Thank you, everyone, for your prayer. Thank you, Steph, for your prayer, for love on everybody. That's the heart of God. God is love. God is not into this polarization in our country. I wrote a song called America about how America needs to heal and we need to come out of this polarization and division. You know, we have it in the church where one group's damning the other group to hell, and we have it in politics where the Republicans and Democrats hate each other. And yes, we have an election coming up in November, and you can vote for who you want to vote for. But remember that Jesus Christ and his resurrection is for everybody. It's for Republicans and Democrats. Jesus said to the disciples in John 14, I've been with you such a long time. Have you not known me? And one of the reasons people don't know Jesus is they get caught up in what I call the isms. Fundamentalism, Pentecostalism, Catholicism, Protestantism. They think that God is only with their ism, Democratism, Republicanism. That Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's over it all. And he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So his resurrection and his love is for all. And so you just stay in that celebration, not just today, but every day. For the resurrection is for every day, as my friend, the late Keith Green, said, hear the bells ringing. They're singing that Jesus is risen from the dead.
Hear the bells ringing that sing that you can be born again. Hear the bells ringing that sing Christ is risen from the dead. The angel upon the tombstone, he has risen just as he said. Quickly now, go tell his disciple that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world, he is risen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that you can be healed right now. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ be where it be left now. The angels, they all surround us, and they are ministering Jesus' power. Quickly now, reach out and receive it, but this could be your glorious hour. Joy to the world, he is risen.
So, Lord, we pray you bless families now as they're coming together for Easter. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Go with God and be blessed. We love you all.